Mary, getting pretty late. You better come in now.
The lights are all right, Dad. I've only got two more rounds to go.
Oh, all right, then. Tell Jim to come in to the horses. It's too dark.
He'd rather be putting in beans than home milking, Dad.
Well, we're through milking. Tell him to come on in. Supper's ready.
Okay, Dad. I'll tell him.
A family working together. Gone were the terrible, anxious hours just after D-Day. Word had come that Bill was safe in France. So everyone pitched in. Mom with her Red Cross work. Mary with her 4-H war bond sales. Young Jimmy with his big scrap drive. And Dad, well, in addition to all his other work, attended soil conservation meetings, helping to plan and encourage practices that would keep precious topsoil from being mined too hard during these war years. And then the tasseling and harvest time came. The help shortage pinched more than ever. Again, every member of the family pitched in. Every available harvesting machine was used, and that wasn't all. City folks organized volunteer crop corps and worked on nearby farms after office hours. For many, it was a new and hard experience, and in some ways, it was fun. At least it was different than tramping over a golf course.
Come on, Joe, set those shocks up straight.
Yeah, we don't want them to fall down before we leave the field.
How'd you like to do this for a living, kid?
Not on your life. Boy, is my back tired. Oof.
Well, with 30 guys out every night this week, we can chalk a lot of grain.
I'm sure glad I signed up for the crop corps.
And so were farm families, for the thousands of crop corps workers and Victory Farm volunteers rendered a priceless service, helping bring in food for Victory. The harvest finished, and our boys pushing forward in France, Italy, and in the Pacific, farm families took things just a little easier. The county fair, though greatly curtailed compared to pre-war, was nevertheless an important event.
Well, the old fair isn't what she used to be, but still quite a thing for the youngsters. I hope that judge gives Jim's calf another good look.
Stop being so nervous, Dad. A body would think you were the one being judged.
Well, that's a good calf. Might not quite be a champion, but darn near it.
He's done. They've got him placed.
Oh, sure. Jim could just as well have been first. Oh, well, second ain't bad.
Jim will be a good sport about it, and Bill will be pleased. Look, here comes Mary.
Mighty excited, seems as though.
Oh, Mother and Dad, look. The purple ribbon on my canned goods display. Oh, gee.
Oh, wonderful, Mary. You surely deserve it. Now Bill will be delighted.
And then school started again, and the war bond drive continued with Dad, as well as Mary, taking a very active part. Jim's scrap collection went over 1,600 pounds, a real boost for the future farmers' club to which he belonged. Work on the farm continued, with neighbors helping each other at combining beans and in other ways. The weather remained good.
Just what we need for the corn.
We can get at it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and if the frost stays away, it'll be a bumper crop.
And the frost did stay away, well into November in some areas. It was a bounteous harvest. Golden ears piled to overflowing in the cribs and driveways. Mechanical pickers drawn by tractors equipped with lights worked long into the night. Hand huskers were up long before dawn, banging ears against the bangboard. Sometimes, though, under the pressure of the long hours and the lack of help, the ever-dangerous power machinery resulted in painful and tragic farm accidents.
Too bad about Frank. Doctors say he may lose his arm.
Yeah, he just can't be careful enough around these machines.
Working so late, does it?
Yeah, I guess so. But it's happened, so now let's get a bunch together to help get the rest of his corn out.
And that's what they did. All the neighbors and their wives assembled early one morning. They made short work of the 40 acres of corn and of the fine noon meal the ladies prepared. And Frank, recuperating in a hospital, was thankful for his good neighbors. Thanksgiving time. In millions of homes all over the nation, there were prayers of gratitude for another year closer to victory. for the progress our boys and the Allies had made for another season of bumper crops. In churches all through the land, Harvest Sunday services expressed universal thankfulness.
And so, O Lord, for these, thy gifts, we thank thee. Amen.
Yes, the gifts taken from the soil were plentiful. In the great state of Iowa alone, the corn crop exceeded 607 million bushels, the largest ever produced by any state in the Union. Soybeans piled up to 45.5 million bushels, a new record. Though some grains and potatoes and beef supplies were smaller, record production was seen for eggs and for dairy products. Boys riding home from fighting fronts expressed sincere appreciation for a job well done.
Dear folks, just a word to let you know that I'm all okay. We had turkey and all the trimmings for Thanksgiving, which reminded me of those happy holidays back home. I appreciate your many letters telling about happenings on the farm. We know your job is tough, just as ours is here, but it sure helps to know folks on the farm front are on the job. It sort of makes our fighting seem more worthwhile, and it helps us to see.
Winter came. Farmers prepared for its iciest blast. Then, from the Western Front came news from Jack Shelley. News of a serious German counteroffensive, of Nazi paratroopers and panzer divisions breaking through. News that made us forget such a trivial thing as cold weather. Enemy pressure increased for several days. Anxious families listened intently to their radios. In the Pacific, war news was more encouraging. Then the weather improved on the Western Front, and our doughboys fared better. Farmers already had their production programs for 1945 outlined. Again, they would be hard to follow, but all through the war, farmers had not failed. And surely Bill and his buddies over there will again get what they need from the farm front in 1945. Christmas 1944 wasn't the happiest Christmas for Mother, Dad, Mary, Ruth, nor Jimmy, but their hopes and their prayers were for a brighter future.
And so, my son, I must close this letter. Again, I say we're lonely tonight. But that loneliness is overshadowed by our understanding that we have a mutual problem to solve. We'll solve it too, son. Love, from Mom, Dad, Mary, and Jimmy.
The Farmer in 44, a dramatization of agriculture's part in this year's war effort, has been presented as a special feature on this, the 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour. Original scripts were prepared by John Wherry, Bill Diamond, and Herb Flambeck of the WHO Farm Department. Production was under the direction of Al Bell. Herb Flambeck, Farm Service Director, served as narrator, and members of the WHO staff participated as the cast. We shall be glad to have listeners' remarks on this program. And now, to conclude, here is Don Hovey and the Symphony with Get on the Bandwagon.
In conclusion, I want to give you a highlight from another of the outstanding farm broadcasts of the year. It's about the unseen guest at your family dinner table, wherever you are, anywhere in America. I quote, "Not only your unseen guest, but your unseen host. For it was he who, through extra toil and sacrifice, made the abundant food on the table possible. Perhaps at your table, your unseen guest will be my farm friend in Iowa, who struggled so hard in the early hours of the morning to bring through that litter of pigs to help provide food. Or maybe it's the sheepman, the cattleman, or the grain farmer. And last but not least, your unseen guest and host may be the American dairy farmer. In particular, my friend who, faced with the shortage of help and the shortage of equipment, carried on against great odds to keep vital dairy products flowing. Let me recall a heroic task of this friend of mine, who late at night, after concluding a long day of toil, received a message that his only son, who he was hoping would someday take over the farm, had been killed in action in the South Pacific. This friend arose as usual the next morning, and with his lantern made his way to the barn to carry on. On the way into the barn, he noticed the old leather coat hanging on the nail of the barn door, where it had been hung the day his son had answered the country's call. He said that as he passed it, it seemed to speak out and say, "Carry on, Dad, and keep those supplies coming, for my friends in the foxholes are depending on you." Not only did he produce his quota, but he increased it by 1/4 over his record of the previous year. So as we sit down at our tables, be they here in America, in the mess halls of our training camps, or in the foxholes of the battlefront, the farmer who produced the nation's food will be our unseen guest and host. End quote. Yes, that's one of the finest tributes to the fine patriotic spirit of the American farmer I have ever heard. Who said it? Everett Mitchell on the Voice of the Dairy Farmer, National Network Radio Program, sponsored by the American Dairy Association and the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission. And it's such a tribute that gives a real understanding by all of the faith and idealism of the farm people of America. Yes, it's well to remember that this understanding is being brought about through the nationwide program of the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission and the American Dairy Association.
Listen again at the same time next Saturday for another Corn Belt Farm Hour. And if you live outside Iowa or near the boundary of the state, tune in every Sunday noon to the Voice of the Dairy Farmer, an NBC broadcast with Everett Mitchell and Clifton Utley. The Voice of the Dairy Farmer is sponsored by the American Dairy Association, in which all Iowa dairy farmers have an active part through the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission. And remember, next Saturday, your hosts on our Corn Belt Farm Hour will again be the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission and the American Dairy Association. And now for Herb Flambeck, Bill Diamond, John Wherry, Eileen Chives, Lucia Thorne, Don Hovey and the Symphony, and your announcer, Bobby Griffin, we wish you a very happy new year and one that will bring peace and happiness to everyone. The 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour was produced in the studios of WHO Des Moines.